This is the first Sunday of Advent, and that being said, this is the Sunday when we think about the expectation of hope. And so this morning I want us to look at the hope of the world. And we will be reading from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It's printed on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to read along. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. May God add to the reading of His Scripture. I have thought a lot this week about hope and tried to understand and look at the subject of hope from a variety of different perspectives. Hope is one of those things that is very difficult sometimes to get a handle on. And maybe the best way to look at hope and to understand what it means is to look at someone or an example of someone who is in a place where they felt hopeless. A number of years ago, I purchased a couple of vehicles through a government auction, and they were pretty well junk vehicles, but they were in the city of Dickinson, Texas, down by Galveston. So Cody, Becky, and I drove down in one car to bring the other two back. And while we were there, we decided to go over to Galveston and look around, do a bit of sightseeing. And I'm not overly excited about sightseeing, especially shopping and that sort of thing. So while they shopped, I sat down at a little table along the street there on the curb. There were some tables in front of a restaurant, and I sat down at one of those tables. And it was just a moment. The proprietor, a very small Oriental woman, came out and told me I had to order something if I was going to sit there. And so I agreed and bought a coat, and I sat there in my table. And a gentleman come walking down the street who was skin and bones. He was holding a paper bag with a cheap bottle of wine in it as though it were the most precious treasure in the world. And he sat down for a moment at one of the tables next to me, and sure enough, the proprietor came out and told him the same thing, that he'd have to buy something if he's going to sit there. And he obviously didn't have the money to do that, so he got up and started to walk off, and I said, "Friend, sit down by me, I'll buy you something." He looked as though he hadn't eaten in a week. I bought him a hamburger and a Coke, just more than anything so I could have somebody to talk to while I'm waiting on them shopping. Honestly. So he sat down and we began to talk. And I asked him, you know, about his life and what have you. I said, "Are you from Galveston?" And he said, "No, sir, I am from a little town near Hot Springs, Arkansas in Garland County." I said, "Well, that's interesting. I was born and raised about 40 miles from Hot Springs in Yell County. We're next door neighbors. We were about the same age. We visited for some time about Garland County. You know, when we were young, we fished in the same creeks and hunted the same woods, spent a lot of time on Lake Washita. We did a lot of the same things." And so I asked him what he had done, and he said, "Well, when he got out of high school, he started working on a river barge that went up and down the river, and from that he got off on a freighter and had been around the world and obviously had made some bad choices, had gotten involved in drugs and various other things, and he said he had lung cancer and wasn't expected to live, and he was very, very honest. He said, "I'm living on the street now. I go to the Salvation Army place down here occasionally and I can get a meal, but other than that, I'm basically camping out and I'm not expected to live a long time." We talked a while, and as finally finished, he started to walk away, still clutching his bottle of wine. And as he started to leave, he said, "I'll never see Garland County again." And as he ambled off, I thought, we're not that different. We grew up in the same place. We had many of the same experiences. What happened? what changed in this man's life to such an extent that he is living on the street, dealing with a variety of very bad habits that are killing him, and he doesn't feel like he will ever see home or family again. You know, he had opportunities from talking to him. He had a family at one time that loved him very much. He had some skills. He knew how to do some things. What happened? He had made seriously bad choices. He had had the opportunity to live a Christian life. You know, it is said sometimes, everything happens for a reason. And I saw a post on Facebook not too long ago that said that, and it said, yes, and oftentimes the reason is we're stupid and we make bad decisions. There's a lot of truth to that. I've done it myself. I've made bad decisions. I've gone in the wrong direction. So what separates a life that is reasonably successful from a life that is almost without hope? The point of this sermon is to understand how you and I can have hope and build a life on that hope. And I think, in my opinion, but I think perhaps one of the man's greatest problems was he had lost hope. He had given up on hope. He did not feel that life could ever work out. He was lost. He was in a place of despair. So I want us to try and understand hope a little bit. Hope is one of the most valuable assets that you and I can have. Hope is something that resides inside us. It is not external. It is always internal. And it has to come from a place inside of us. Hope, I read a definition and I like this, so I'll share it with you. Hope is a complex emotion made up of a desire for something and an expectation of obtaining it. When either of these is lacking, there is not hope, only a wish or desire. When they are mingled in improper proportions, there is no peace or rest. But when the desire of obtaining an object is matched with an equal expectation of obtaining it, there exists that peaceful, happy state of mind and heart, which we call hope. Okay, so what do we hope for? What is it that we all hope for? Well, we want to all be loved. I mean, that is a universal thing. I have never met anyone who did not want other people to accept them and to care for them. Now, there may be some people like that out there, but I haven't met them. We all have a hope that we can have people in our lives, family and friends, that genuinely care for us, that love us. We all have a hope that things will work out well, work out for our benefit, work out to our good. We can have that hope regardless of circumstances. That is the second thing. Hope is not dependent on circumstances. Now, think about that for just a moment. Hope is not dependent on the circumstances that you are in. Regardless of what they may be, you can have hope. Deep inside, you can have real, genuine hope that sustains you. Louis Zamperini, that's a wonderful name. I'm probably mispronouncing it. Some of you may know who I'm talking about. He was a World War II prisoner of war and an Olympic athlete. A book was written about him titled Unbroken, and a movie was made off of the book. And if you have a chance, I would encourage you to read the book or watch the movie. It is amazing. This was a young man who was shot down, and his aircraft was shot down. He spent a long time at sea, lost, a castaway, and finally was picked up by the Japanese and was subjected to unimaginable kind of horrors and unimaginable kind of servitude. He went through torture, really. Yet, he never allowed it to break his hope. And he said, I never gave up hope, and there was never a day that I did not believe sincerely that things would work out in the end. Always had hope. At the end, when the war was over, he actually went back, forgave his tormentors, met many of the guards, and tried to make friends of them. That kind of hope down inside can keep this world from breaking us. Whatever the circumstances, if we can have hope inside of us, it can give us a strength and a power that no matter what we go through, it doesn't matter what illness we face, it doesn't matter what upset or displacement or whatever else, if you lose every dime that you own to your name, you can still have hope. And that hope can come from within, and it is the thing that keeps us alive. Not everyone has hope. It is a sad thing when people reach a place where they have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, and I won't read all of it to you, but a part of that. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the church at Thessalonica, said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I have done a lot of funerals in my life. I have conducted funerals for small children to very elderly people. And I have seen how people react to funerals. Honestly, I know this sounds a bit bizarre, but in some ways I appreciate funerals. I appreciate funerals because they put a close to someone's life. They bring a finality. They bring things together. I have seen people lean over casket and kiss their forehead of their wife or husband who has departed and say goodbye. I have been present when mothers have seen their children perish and we had to have their funeral. Every time we do a funeral, when we go to the cemetery, there is a point where we have to put the body in the ground and cover it up. And we have to go back to life. That is just a reality for every one of us. No matter how much you might love the person, no matter how much you may feel close to them, when that person has died, there is nothing we can do except put their body in the grave and go back to life. I like to say, at cemeteries, it is a bitter day when we have to do that. It hurts, and it hurts deep down inside. But there will come another day. There will come a day when that eastern sky will split open, and when Jesus Christ will return with a shout and with the angels, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is hope. And for the people who have that hope, when they walk away from that grave, though it hurts, it creates a hole in their life, they know, I will see them again. They have that hope that is so real. For some people, they don't have that. And they walk away and they have nothing. If there is nothing outside this life, we have no hope. life is boiled down to, if there is nothing past this life, life is boiled down to nothing more than a series of events that eventually lead to the grave. I have before used the example of the pinball machine, but I think it is a very good one. For those of you who've ever played pinball, you know the ball comes out and it goes back and forth and it hits the bumpers and lights go off and there's a lot of noise and some points rack up on the board. And then eventually, the little ball falls in a hole at the bottom of the game and it is over. People, if there is no life past this, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then it's all just a pinball game. And at the end, eventually, we fall into that grave. But I'm here to tell you today, there's more to life than that. There is more to life than just what you can get, what you can obtain, what temporary pleasure you can have, what experiences you can have. There is real life out there, and that life is Jesus Christ. Hope is always looking forward. We don't hope for the past. We may look back fondly, but we can't go back. Do you ever notice, and I have noticed this in my own family, when someone has passed away, when life moves on, we tend to forget about the bad times, right? We talk about the good old days. Well, being something of a student of history, I'm going to tell you something. If you lived in the 1920s or 30s, a lot of it wasn't real good, was it? But we still talk about the good old days. In the 40s, when young men all over and some young women went off to war and we didn't hear from them for months and months, those were the good old days. We forget the bad things and we tend to remember the good things. And I think that's appropriate. I think that's great that we're able to do that. Hope, though, never looks backward. Hope always looks forward. What happened yesterday is done. It is behind me. I can't change it. There was some of it that was good, and there were some things in the past that I love and that I celebrate. But I'm going to tell you what, I am not the man I was a year ago. And I'm certainly not the man I was a decade ago, or 2 decades, or 3 decades, or you get the idea. I have changed, and my life that was then is no more. What my life is what it is today and what I can look forward to in the future. Hope looks forward. When Becky and I moved to Texas 35 years ago, believe it or not, I promised her, you know, as a loyal young husband, I said, we'll be here 4 years and we'll move back to Arkansas. 35 years ago, we haven't. We've stayed. Things happen. There's no point in looking back there. And you can't go home. I love Arkansas. Love the small valley I was raised in. I love the people there. And I like to go home and visit when I can. But I could never fit in that world again. That's over. I'll never be that redneck kid from the hills of Arkansas. Just can't do it anymore, right? I have to look forward, and I have to believe in what will be tomorrow. And it doesn't matter where you're at in life. You need to think and look and hope forward. What are we doing for the next generation? What are we doing for the people around us? What are we doing to build those relationships, because they will last forever? I will live forever, and so will you. I will live forever as the person that I am becoming, that I hope to be. And so will you. I've asked this question before to myself and to others, and I think it's worthwhile. Are you the person today that you would like to be for eternity? Are you who you want to be for eternity? I think sometimes we have this idea that we can live our lives and be just grouchy, grumpy, hateful, aggravating people our entire lives, and somehow God's just going to take us and clean all that off and make us happy, bright, positive people. Doesn't work that way. What you are making of your life, you will have to live with for eternity. Are you becoming the person you want to be? Or are you happy with who you are? I know I'm not. I know every year, you know, we're about to come up on January 1st, and I'll make resolutions just like everybody else. And I try to keep some of those. I try to move forward at least a little bit every year, because the person I am is not the person I want to end up being. It comes down to this. Are we winding up or are we starting out? And I think for every one of us, we're starting out. We're not ending up. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, the rest of that verse that we started with. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There will be a reunion someday. Someday we will sit down and talk about what we did on this life. The troubles and trials, the pain we went through, and the times that we overcame. Someday we can look back on all of this with a great deal of pride. Someday we can say, I am thankful to have been there. You know, Becky and I, being a young couple when we started out, just like everybody else, we didn't know come here from Sikkim. Didn't have two nickels to rub together. I can remember picking up coins, buying some gas to put in our old car to drive across the mountains to church. Boy, it seemed like tough times back then. And I can remember Doc Castleman at different times, one of the deacons in our church, slipped me a $20 bill as he'd start out the church, and he had no idea how much that meant to us. I'll see him again. Life is eternal. Preacher Kitchens, who used to have the saying, the world is a cold place, it's posted on the baptistry back there, the world is a cold place. The church builds a fire, people will come and warm by it. I love that old man. I'll see him again. My hope is not in this world. My hope is over there. My hope is over there where the saints I've known, the people I've loved, I'm going to see them. And all of the trouble and all of the pain and all of the suffering of this world will become trivial compared to the life that we'll have over there. I cannot know what heaven will be like, but I have a hope that is more powerful than all the demons in hell, that my Jesus will take me over there. In Luke 23:42-43, the last point I'll make, it's never too late for hope. In Luke, as I read, the thief who was hanging on the cross next to Jesus recognized him to be the Son of God and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus replied, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. The thief had spent his life poorly, there's no doubt. He had come to a place where he was literally being crucified for sins that he had done. And he knew it. And he recognized it. And he said to Jesus, "Remember me." And on his last day on this earth, he found hope. Jesus said, "Today wilt thou be with me in paradise." As we go through this Christmas season, I encourage you, leave the past in the past. Bury it, forget it, and go on. Yes, you've made mistakes. So have I. So has everybody else that draws a breath. Instead of focusing on what we did wrong, let's focus on this Christ child that is being born, who is giving us hope of eternity. Please stand.